loves on his wife and his daughter, and so we're thankful for that. Well, the main idea is not just a cool logo in a sermon series. When the leader and leaders are really listening to God, a new sermon series is a fancy way of saying Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's what a new sermon series should be. We're praying and we're asking for God's heartbeat for his people. And we believe in this season, God is saying to his redeemed people, live in a way that's intentional, thoughtful, planned out, seriously strategic. And with the Holy Spirit's help, this kind of living promotes gladness in your heart, because it's a happy thing to be in line with God's purpose. How many of you know that? Like, I'm where God wants me to be and I'm doing it for him. Joy comes with that. And not only joy to you, but good comes to others. When you live on God's purpose, your family and your friends and your coworkers, the people around you, get the overflow of you walking in God's purpose and in living an intentional life. And most of all, God gets the glory. God gets the glory because you're living in the steps that he's ordering for you. And so three main points from last Sunday. It's online if you didn't get to hear it. Number one, we talked about how God created us to live intentional lives of purpose from the very beginning, all right? We see it in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, Adam and Eve cultivating the land, having dominion, making culture, making babies, bringing the reign of God from heaven to earth. And then we see, number two, God calls his church to work hard. He calls his church to work hard with all of our hearts on purpose for the Lord. And I heard a brother say, the only thing that coasts goes down. If you think about something that coasts, gravity pulls it down. So coasting, laziness, chilling, not doing what God has called you to do with all your heart, this is not the purpose of God. We saw that whatever you do, Colossians 3, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord, right? And then we saw number three, God is an intentional God. That's why we live on purpose. That's why we live intentional lives. God does everything that he does on purpose. The universe didn't happen by accident. No matter what they say, God, Genesis 1, created light out of darkness, and then the vegetation, and then the animals, and then the sea, and the fish, and man and woman. We see in creation, God is an intentional God. He does everything on purpose. And then Ephesians 1 says that he saves us on purpose. He chose us, and then he redeemed us, and now his Spirit lives in us. And so this is why we live on purpose. We were made in the image of God. And our God is a God of purpose. And so look at somebody next to you and just tell them, be intentional, live on purpose. Go ahead. Be intentional. Live on purpose. Don't just coast. Don't be lazy. Don't just chill and sleep your life away. There is much purpose to be lived out. And so now over the next few weeks, let's grow together, all right? And I haven't asked you to do this in a while, but we want you to invite somebody. Invite a friend. I guarantee you there's somebody in your family, on your block, in your street, your coworker. They want to know what it feels like to live on purpose. We're going to talk about what it looks like to live on purpose in your relationships. And with application for dating, application for married, fathers, friendship. I mean, who doesn't want that? We're going to talk about what it looks like to live on purpose with your gifts and your skills and your talents. You have gifts, skills, and talents for a reason. What does God say about them? Invite a friend. I guarantee you know somebody who wants to hear about that. And maybe this might be most applicable, living on purpose with your finances, all right, with your money. Like, what is that going to look like? And so over the next several weeks, invite a friend to live out this intentional life with us. But over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to be intentional with our time. All right? Time. Can you say time? Time. Be intentional with your time. When we say time, we're not talking about clocks, all right? Can you tell time, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock? No, when we say time, we're saying how we spend the life and breath and energy that God has given us moment by moment, all right? When you think of time, think about how you're spending life and breath and energy that God has given you moment by moment. Family, listen, time is the most valuable resource you have. Way beyond money. Time. You can lose a little money and get it back next week. You lose your time, you're never getting it back. The last minute or so, it's never going to, we saying you are my strength, that's behind us now. Just what I just said, we keep losing time. Time is the most valuable thing that you have, and how you spend your time affects your life and your eternity more than anything else. Did you hear what I said? How you spend your time affects your life and your eternity more than anything else. That ought to make you lean in and listen to this. This morning, the Spirit is calling us to be intentional about the most important use of our time. Our time alone with God. Our time alone with God. And I just want to start off, good news, believer. Romans 8:39 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Amen? So this is not one of those, did you read your Bible this morning messages? No. The love of God is not based on your performance. The love of God is not based on your quiet time. The love of God is not based on your prayer time. Sin, trials, and not spending time with God, that does not separate you from God's love. But it should drive you deeper into the love of God, spending time with Him. All right? Not spending time with Him doesn't separate you, but the fact that nothing can separate you should drive you deeper into spending time with Him. And so I got a big statement that I want you to test. Don't listen to my words. Don't take my word, right? We want to see if it's in the Word of God. But this is a big statement. I realize that, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I'm going to ask to see your eyes so you can be clear and I can be clear about this. There is no better way to spend your time than with God. No better way. You can't come up with one. On the earth. It's never in vain. Praying to Him in His Word, never in vain, ever. And listen, there's no better way to positively affect the way you spend all of your other time than by first spending it with God. So you got that? There's no greater way to spend your time than with God, and there's no greater way to positively affect all your other time than to first spend your time with God. Now, we know that being a Christian is not being a monk, like, I'm just in the Bible, leave me alone, I'm just in the Word, I don't know you. No. We know, Paul says over and over again in the letters, that this is a walk. We walk with the Lord. We walk with the Lord, we go bowl, we go hang out, we watch a movie with our friends, we go to the park, we go and eat, we go and hang out, we go to the game. I mean, we can do all these things. Like, it's a walk. We do all of this with the Lord. We're not talking about rules and checking a box and do it at 6:02 in the morning. No. Because of the gospel, we get to enjoy God all day. Somebody say all the time, amen. We get to enjoy God all day, in every place. Amen? That's the beauty of the gospel. But, listen, there is something special. Can you say special? That there is something special about enjoying God in a concentrated way, during a specific time of the day, in a specific place. We know all day, everywhere, I'm just with the Lord. But there's something special, unique, privileged about spending God, time with God in a concentrated way, in a specific place at a specific time. And now, I know, I've been a Christian long enough to know, talked to a lot of people, and I know you hear the people say, and I've said this before, you know, I'm more spontaneous. Right? I'm spontaneous, man. I've tried the morning devotional thing, get in my Bible, get a plan and all that. I'm more spontaneous. I can't really get into that. I kind of talk to God throughout the day. Maybe I'll look at a verse or two. Maybe I'll do a little devotional on my phone. Maybe I'll do a YouTube video from my favorite preacher. And I want to say, good. Keep on doing the phone devo, your favorite preacher, as long as they're in the Word, check them out on YouTube. That's fine. Keep that up. But guess what? You're in the right place. If that's you, you're in the right place. The Lord wants to help you add some structure to your spontaneity. The Spirit is calling you to be more intentional. Some of us need to be more spontaneous. That's another series. But the Spirit is saying to us, be intentional, more strategic, more specific about your time alone with God. Can somebody shout, be intentional? Be intentional. Yeah. Be intentional about your time alone with God. Lover of God, be consistent. Be seriously strategic when it comes to your private worship. Be intentional about your quiet times with God. Take some serious strategic measures about your one-on-one time with your Father. I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, Danisha, what have I told my sweet, beautiful wife, Karen? What have I just told her one day? You know, babe, I'm really more spontaneous. You know, babe, I love you. You know, I love you and all, but I tried the deep conversation thing. And the regular date night thing, that routine of regularly taking you, I tried that. And you know what? Holding hands and, you know, just you and me, quality time together. You know, I feel a little bit more like goosey. You know, just kind of, I don't really want to do that. You know, that romantic dinner, you know, planned getaway thing. You know, babe, I just ain't feeling that no more. You know, that one-on-one, just the two of us type stuff. You know, I can't make it. We can't try that no more. I'm not wired like that, baby. I feel more comfortable just shooting you a text every now and then. I figure we'll be good. What would happen? What y'all think would happen? Let's just put it like this. Some big problems. All right? Big problem. Look, Kairos, we would have a very shallow relationship. All right? Immediate counseling. Okay? Immediate marriage counseling. She would be like, hold up. Before, somebody say before. But before we got together, remember, before we got married, hold up now, you was the most intentional dude on the planet. I mean, you thought everything out. We always dated and you always wrote letters and we always held hands and we had to stand close to each other and you didn't want my parents to be around. You always wanted to be in the same booth with me. And now all of a sudden you spontaneous. Dude, you crazy. Listen, every good relationship, marriage or beyond, needs the spontaneous and the structure to thrive. We need the playful little texts with the kissy emojis, and we need the planned trips. Brothers and sisters, it's the same with our relationship with God. Even more so because He is the lover of our souls. Look, all I'm trying to say is be intentional about your intimate time with God. I said earlier that there's something special about enjoying God in a concentrated way during a specific time and a specific place. But watch this. This specific time and specific place is not just special. Special. Can I tell you, it's sacred? Spending special time in a special place specifically with your God is not just special, it's sacred, it's holy, it's all throughout the Holy Scriptures. We see men and women spending intentional time alone with God. I'll just give you a couple of places and we'll camp out at one. Jacob. Jacob in Genesis 32, 24, it says, so Jacob was left alone. Can you say alone? Alone. Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Later on in Genesis 32, it says this man was God, which means he was the God man, which means Jesus is God and worthy of glory because in some way he existed and came into time before Bethlehem manger. He was wrestling privately with the pre-incarnate Christ by himself, and his name was changed. His name, Jacob, meant trickster to Israel, which means struggler with God. His name was changed in the presence of God, which tells us, brothers and sisters, if you want transformation, counseling is good. Hallelujah. And doing books is good. But if you want the deepest kind of transformation, wrestle alone with God. He'll give you a new name. He'll change your character. Jacob. And then the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself, the Lord Jesus, God in flesh, he came to the earth and he patterned for us, spend time alone with your Father. He shows us that we must spend time alone with our Father. Look, Luke 5:16, this is what it says. I'm not making it up. It says, but Jesus himself would often, I like the way I think the NIV put it, slip away. Like a dance. Slip away. He would just slip away and be with his Father alone and pray. Jacob, the Lord Jesus, and then I want us to get our spiritual knife and fork out and come up to the table of Luke chapter 10. And let's look at Mary. All right, talking about spending time with Jesus. I want you to open up your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, look at the one by your feet. There ought to be an extra Bible somewhere. Go to Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 10. Jacob is alone with God, and God changes his character. The Lord Jesus is often alone with his Father, praying to him, depending on the Spirit's power. And then we see Mary, not the mother of Jesus, but the sister of Martha and Lazarus in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Look at what it says. Verse 38 says, now as they went on their way, his disciples, Jesus entered a village. So disciples went one way, Jesus went another way. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Pay attention. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my... No, she probably didn't say it like that. We think these people aren't. This is real life. She probably said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing, O Lord, is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Look, I'm going to grab your stool, brother. This is amazing. This is amazing. Because it says that Jesus came to this house and Martha welcomed him. But Mary worshiped him. Martha casually was like, oh, that's you, Jesus. What's up? All right. And she had some other stuff to do. She had bigger priorities than Jesus. She had other things to do that she thought was more important than first worshiping at his feet. There were things in the kitchen pulling her heart away from worshiping Jesus beyond a casual welcome. Verse 39 said, but she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. That was a posture. She sat. She sat. That was a posture of worship. When Jesus came in, he became her priority. Time with him. Now watch this. Martha's in the kitchen. Mary's in another room. You don't have to be all by yourself in the house. People can be doing things downstairs, upstairs. Kids can be running. Cousins in the living room. But where you are, you're with Jesus. Mary didn't care about the pots that was clinging in the kitchen. She cared about the one who died, who was going to die, to raise up again, who loved her soul. She sat before him, and the Bible says that she was listening to his teaching. This is what God wants us to do. To listen to his teaching. Jesus wants to teach you how to love him. Jesus wants to teach you how to be a husband. Sit at his feet. Jesus wants to teach you how to be a wife. It says she was listening to his teaching. Jesus wants to teach you how to be a mother. He wants to teach you how to be a father. He wants to teach you how to be a servant. He wants to teach you how to use your money. He wants to teach you how to evangelize and make disciples. She sat at his feet and she listened to his teaching. So many times we run away and do this and that when Jesus is like, I want to show you how to be a man. I want to teach you how to be a woman. I want to teach you how to reach the city, to reach the nations. The most beautiful place in the world is not San Diego. It's not Hawaii. It's right here at the feet of Jesus. That's the most beautiful place in the world. And Jesus says in verse 41, look at that. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, because she wasn't prioritizing the presence of Jesus. Because when you're not prioritizing the presence of Jesus, the only alternative is being full of anxiety, worry, and frustration. The problem is we're not letting Jesus speak to our fears. And the Bible says in verse 42, one thing. Can you say one thing? That's what it says. One thing. One thing is necessary. What? Do you believe that? Jesus is speaking. Do you believe that? No, really. Do you believe that one thing in your day is really necessary? Out of all the stuff you got to do, I'm telling you what Jesus is telling you, one thing, not two, not three. If nothing else gets done and this one thing gets done, Jesus puts success over your day. Really? Really? He says Mary has chosen the good what? What does your Bible say? Help me out. Mary has chosen the good what? Portion. That's a food term. Mary is letting me feed her soul to satisfy her, and you off in the kitchen thinking that I'll make you happier when you do for me, but not if you're with me. Do you realize that God has first called you to be with him and not do for him? And he has food that you don't even have any idea. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Jesus wants to feed your soul, and we're going around all these other places, and Jesus says, I want to be your portion. One thing matters. I will put success over your day if you get this one thing right. Wow. Somebody say, be intentional. Be intentional. Be a one thing person. All right? I'll say it again. I got Jesus behind me this time. there simply is no better way to spend your time than with Jesus. And there is no better way to positively affect the way that you spend the rest of your time than by first spending time with Jesus. Did you hear that? First. That's the key word. Can you say first? First. You got other stuff to do. He didn't rebuke Martha for doing other stuff. She got to eat. They got to eat. Jesus ate. She had to get the house together. He didn't rebuke her for doing other stuff and working. He rebuked her for not worshiping first so that her work could be overflow and joyful and worshiping while she's doing the other stuff. First, this is what it means to prioritize one thing above the others. The main point of this is prioritize his presence. Prioritize his presence. Put it first. Can I get a little bit more closer to home for you? And the most practical way that you can prioritize Jesus' presence is by seeking him first. When you get up in the morning. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom. Who's the king? Jesus. Seek him first. Prioritize his presence. Don't let the kitchen or anything else pull you away and give you a casual welcome. Sit at his feet first. It's what Job did in Job 1:5. He rose up early in the morning. David did it in Psalm 5:3. Woke up early in the morning. Hannah, that praying mother in 1 Samuel 1:19, woke up early in the morning. Your Lord Jesus Christ, he did it in Mark 1:35. He woke up early in the morning. Look throughout church history. The saints had a priority of waking up early in the morning. It's not new, all right? Every believer that I know that walks closely with Jesus, they wake up early in the morning to put him first in the morning. Intentional. I remember Francis Chan said something. Francis Chan, pastor in California, and heard he was moving out to the mission field, Francis Chan, I remember him telling the story of his mother-in-law. And I remember him saying that his mother-in-law walked closely with Jesus. He said he didn't know anybody who loved the Lord more than his mother-in-law. And he said one day, just so impactful for him. He said one day he was at his mother-in-law's house. And he said, literally, his mother-in-law walked past her room. And the little place where her little desk was, her little Bible. And she stopped. And he said she wept tears. And she said to the Lord, I can't wait to meet you in that special place in the morning. And he said, no wonder why she's the godliest woman I know who cries in anticipation of meeting with Jesus the next morning. Prioritize his presence early in the morning. Like that old song, oh God, you are my God. And I will ever praise you. Then he says, I will seek you in the morning. And I will learn to walk in your ways as step by step you lead me. Now, we're not monks. We seek them in the morning so that we can look at them all day. We eat his word in the morning so we can live on the energy of that word all day long. We let our Father, we re-grip his hand in the morning so we can walk in his strength all day long. In the morning. Can somebody say morning? Now I know that's a hard word because I hear people talk. Call me crazy. I hear people talk when I'm preaching. And I know some people are saying over in this section right here. No. Somebody might say, I ain't no morning person. I just ain't no morning person, man. That sounds great. And Francis Chan's mother-in-law, that's fine with me. But look, I ain't no morning person. Look, I understand. I'm not either. But watch this. A lot of times our biggest problem is not that we are not morning people, but that we are undisciplined night people. You a night person. Too many of us stay up late. Scrolling. Telling on myself, scrolling. Where my night scroll is at? Where it is, see, the honest. 1, 2, 3, 4, the rest of y'all line. 1, 2, what my night scroll is at? I mean, we might as well do a dance, right? Where my night scroll? Hey. I mean, where my night scroll is? It's not that we can't get up in the morning. It's that we're too distracted to go down at night. Look, Mary's sister Martha didn't prioritize the presence of Jesus because verse 40 says, what does it say? She was distracted. She was distracted. She didn't prioritize the presence of Jesus because she was distracted. She had other priorities. She had things that felt better in the moment. She had things to do that seemed funner in the moment. I just want you to know, the devil loves to distract you from his presence. He'll use a piece of gum. He'll use a website. He'll use a cake. He'll use a hamburger, anything. He'll use your toe. All of a sudden, you're like, what's in my toe? You know, studying what's in your toe and my nails, my head. I mean, like, he is an expert, whatever he can do, because you get power when you're in his presence. You get set free when you're in his presence. Now, watch this. This may not be the most, you know, spiritual thing, but this might be the most anointed, appointed word for you right here. I wrote it down. This is time to shout right here. This is dancing. I'm talking about, if you never danced, this might be the most special thing that's ever said this morning to you, and here it is. Put your phone away at a certain time every day and go to bed. Woo! Y'all, that was the most. Put your phone away at a certain time every day and go to bed. Go to bed. Go to sleep. Let me see. It's hard for so many. Lay down. Get under the covers. Read a book. Read the Bible. So sad. That'll put you to sleep real quick. You want the quickest, like, and Abraham said, like, that's okay. Use the Bible to put you down so you can wake up to get in it. That's great. That's a great plan. Schedule it. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be better at this, Star. I really am. I'm trying. Me and my wife, we trying, Star. We trying. I mean, I got it in my phone. I got it. It just... Sometimes it's hard, Star. What'd that say? Say that loud. What'd that say right there?
Offline,
beeline, 8:59. Like, I'm trying to rhyme and everything. Get offline, beeline into that bed, 8:59. Do what you got to do. Put them kids down. Chill. We trying to. It's like, wow, that's early. I'm trying to get up early. Schedule it. Guess what? Your soul, I ain't say your body, I ain't say your eyes, I ain't say your hips. Your soul will thank you in the morning. So I want to invite you to resolve with me. It's dangerous. And this is what I've stated. If there's any one thing that I do all day, it's going to be spending time in the presence of Jesus, worshiping him in his word. If there's anything, Jesus said one thing matters the most. The best way to spend your time. If there's anything, my teeth might be stinking, my breath might, stuff might be coming out, my nose might be running. I mean, like, I know that's kind of far. But look, the point is, yeah, Jesus would rather you have a stinky breath than a stinky soul. But I got so much other stuff to do. I got so much other stuff to do. I read this quote, Mike. Listen to this. Private worship takes time as you wait on God in his presence. The author goes on, he says, it is foolish to say, quote, I can't spend time with God. I've got too much to do. The author says, you must spend time with God or you choose to do your other things without God's blessing. He goes on to say, God, I love this. Look, God knows how to miraculously save up time for you to do other things when you prioritize the one thing that matters most, time spent with him. Can I say that again? God knows how to miraculously save up time to do other things when you prioritize the one thing that matters most, time spent with him. And so I try to chunk out my days strategically by prayer themes. We'll talk more about that next week. I think it'll be helpful. On Mondays, I pray for my family. And one of my prayers for my wife, she doesn't even know this. This is specifically, I'm going to give you an excerpt of what I pray for my wife on Mondays. Right from my prayer journal. It says, Lord Jesus, in the good and honorable busyness of all Karen has to do, as a woman of God, as my wife, as a mother, as a homeschooler, as a church planner's wife, as serving the women's leadership, as speaking every now and then, like all this good stuff. I say, Lord, all that Karen has to do, cause her to always remember that the one thing needed is time in the morning with you. And my heart is so encouraged because that's what I see in her life. It's like the prayer of Moses in Psalm 90, verse 14. He says, satisfy us with your steadfast love. Watch this, Bianca. In the morning, he says. Why in the world he say in the morning? He could say that night. Satisfy us, Lord, at night, right before we go to sleep. Oh, Lord, that was amazing. Why in the morning? Because everybody wakes up on E. And we got a long journey in front of us. We don't know what's in front of us. We don't know what kind of plots of the devil. We don't know what kind of texts and phone calls we're going to get. We don't know what kind of danger seen and unseen. God wants to get you ready in the morning for what you don't even know what's coming your way. Fill you up. Give you a word. Give you a sword. Give you a helmet. Give you your heart. Give you some joy. Don't leave without him. I know that's an old commercial. I don't care. Visa, MasterCard, don't leave home. Don't leave home without him. I'm just about done. Listen. Somebody might say, what should we do? Like, what should I do in the morning? I talk to a lot of people. Even when I travel, I'm talking to people. It's like, I don't know where to read. What should I do? One of my friends back in Texas, country dude. He was a country dude, had a real high voice. He kind of helped to disciple me. He was like, hey, man, what I do, I call it knees first. Say, did you get discipled by a dude with a high-pitched voice? It could be a little distracting sometimes, but he spoke to me. I do knees first in the morning. I said, knees first. He said, yep, my knees hit the ground before my toes. I said, that's country, boy, but that worked. He just said, I slide out. He said, because I'm so undisciplined. So I got to do stuff. So I slide out of my bed onto my knees. That way, at least I know I prayed. And I just ask God, Lord, bless me, help me, strengthen me. We got some Bible reading plans. Just a day. Be intentional. This is not called a Bible reading plan. It's called a way to put to intentionally pursue Jesus. Or you don't have to do that. You can do, what about, what day of the week is this? I mean, what day of the month is this? The 16th? 17th. So, I'm going to read Psalm 17 today. Whatever day of the week it is. Now, how simple is that? Hey, y'all, what day? It's the 8th. Okay, Psalm 8. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to read Psalm 8. But I don't have a lot of time. Well, look. We talked about that, but sometimes it's a reality, right? Busy mom, busy life. Look. My uncle said it like this. I know it's hood, but it's okay. He said, am is better than now. Am is better than now. So I'm like, what does that mean? Look, it means a little bit is better than no bit. Sometimes my kids are busy, they're going somewhere, and my wife will say, get you a breakfast bar. It might not be a full-blown breakfast, but at least you're eating on some kind of energy. It just might be one psalm. It's like, might be a little one verse. It might just say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, Lord, help me be my shepherd. Be intentional. Go to bed on purpose. Get up on purpose. Prioritize his presence in the morning. Walk with them all day. Let me close like this. We got that picture? Put that picture up, man, if we got it. Okay. Beautiful. I just want to close like this. This has been my prayer. Anybody know what those are? Huh? Who said that? Morning glory. Did you hear? Those flowers are called morning glory flowers. Like in the morning, M-O-R-N, in the morning. Morning glory. I was just studying this camp. I'm like, Lord, you must, oh my goodness. Now, why do they call these morning glory flowers? Now, listen to this. You can look it up yourself. I'm not making this up. Look, they're called morning glory flowers because they open up to full bloom early in the morning under the shining light and heat of the sun and prefer to enjoy the sun's full exposure throughout the entire day. They're called morning glory because they open up to the sun and they get the heat and the light, and it causes them to shine bright all day long because they get up under his sun rays in the morning. Yeah. Do you see what the Lord is saying? They're so beautiful because they get up in the morning, and the sun rays beautify them and give them energy to be beautiful all day long because they open up to the sun in the morning. Where my glory flowers at? Where are my glory flowers? The Lord wants to beautify you and give you energy in his glory all day long. Put your phone down. Put your phone down and open up your heart and let the S-O-N, Jesus, shine on your soul and give you the strength to walk in his beauty all day long. Morning glories. Lord, make us a church filled with morning glory worshipers who rise up in the morning and open up our souls to the lover of our soul. Prioritizing your presence, sitting at your feet, worshiping you. Let's just take a moment and pray.